for the first message, the first split sermon, Mr. Corey Plagenza.
Good morning. Special good morning to all of you and those on the telephone and computer. There was a process, I've talked about this before, a process that the city goes through in hiring, and it's called the practical test. And that test, there's usually four or five areas that we'll test a guy in, a new candidate applying for a job with the city. For us, it's whether or not they can back a trailer or how well they do forming concrete. And I went through that 20 years ago when I got hired on. One of the tests that they did was a customer service test to see how a person would answer and to see what their character was like. And you may be thinking, well, how hard could it possibly be? You know you're testing. You know you've got to give the right answer. You've got to be patient and listening and preparing and giving a proper answer. But it's a role-playing exercise that they go through, and it's very simple. You're the guy out on the construction crew. You lifted some concrete and inadvertently smashed some flowers that were planted next to the sidewalk, next to the cement that you were removing. And that whole test, well, pretty easy. And then the instructor says, if you're ready, we'll go ahead, and the role-playing exercise begins. The person assumes the position of the worker, and the tester assumes the position of the irate customer. And you have to give an answer for what you've done and what has happened. And it's not as easy as it sounds, because we do raise our voice. There is some elevated volume that comes out, some really aggressive verbal communication that happens between the tester and the candidate, and it will throw people off. I remember when I did it, it threw me off. I was not prepared for somebody to yell at me, and most people are not ready for them to yell at them. And I have been a part of this in both ways. I've both done the test and had it done to me, and I've also administered the test. And what it shows is it brings out a person's character, what their character is. If they're a fighter, it'll come out. One of the things that I look for when we're doing that test is whether or not they will interrupt me, because they can't be wrong. They interject their opinion, or they want to make their statement known. And there's a lot of people that will listen, are very understanding, will listen, be patient, wait for the individual to finish what he has to say, and then they'll interject. And when they're interrupted, they stop. They wait. But it's in their character to do that. It's not something that they know going into this, okay, this is the kind of person that I need to be. A lot of times when you get in a stressful situation like that, you forget that you're being tested, or that kind of goes out the window and you revert back to what your character is. And today I want to talk a little bit about this, about our character and testing that spiritual character, because testing our spiritual character is incredibly important. But how do we do that? And I want to take a look at a couple scriptures here. John 15 and verse 8. It says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. We are to bear fruit, spiritual fruit. Matthew 7. That's what's required of us as Christians, is to bear fruit. Matthew 7 and verse 16. It says, you will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And continuing there, verse 18, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. I talked a lot about testing somebody else, right? We're testing somebody else. We test the fruits to see the character of that individual. But what I want to focus on today is yourself, myself, and you for yourself. How is the fruit that you are producing? Obviously, the fruit is a physical example of a spiritual example that we're trying to gain from this, or a spiritual nature. And so we can learn from this physical aspect here that we find in agriculture and that we find in nature, and we can then apply that to a spiritual aspect of our lives. John 15, go back to John 15 again. Let's take a look at these. There's quite a few that I want to go through. I think three or four of them here that I'm going to quickly go through, talking about a very physical aspect that we need to take a look at in our spiritual lives. John 15, so back to John 15. We'll start in verse 5. Christ says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them in the fire and they are burned." And what we're drawing out of here is that Christ is using this analogy of producing fruit, him being the vine, you being the branches. And we can use that in a spiritual aspect. Psalms, the first chapter, Psalms 1. We sang about that just a few minutes ago. Psalms 1 and verse 3. Psalms 1 and verse 3, it says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." This is obviously a physical example of what we should be doing, that we should be producing spiritual fruit. And then just one more here about this physical aspect of that. 2 Corinthians 9. Quite a few examples of these fruits that we should be producing and examples that we can apply to our spiritual lives. So 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10, it says, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness." You know, these are very agricultural terms, sower and seeds and planting and bringing that fruit to fruition. It says, increase the fruit of your righteousness, though. So are we doing that? All these physical aspects from nature and agriculture that we read of, they're applied to our spiritual lives and what we can do in producing spiritual fruit or increase the fruit of our righteousness. God desires that we do good works and that we bear holy, righteous fruit in order to glorify him. We can read of that in Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That's what we're talking about. These fruits that are being produced are our good works. And by these good works, we glorify God. I want to take a look at just the example of fruit and fruit being produced. I've told the story about, it's actually a sermonette I gave a number of years ago about the ant, and that ant would attack this orange tree. Well, I want to talk about this orange tree. So we planted this orange tree. It was a small tree, maybe 2 or 3 foot high, and we picked it up at Costco, and that tree, we planted it, and we watered it, and we made sure that it was fertilized. We tried to keep the ants out of it the best that we could, and we went through a season where it bloomed but never put on any fruit. It was just too small to support any fruit, and it was a few years that the tree was in the ground, and it never produce anything. It was still young. It wasn't to the point where it produced anything. And I can't remember if it was the third or the fourth year, that tree produced fruit. And we waited for that fruit, and we saw the blossom and then the bud, and then we saw that fruit hanging on the tree, first green, and then as time went on, it ripened, it turned orange, and we went out and picked it. And the fruit that was on that tree, it wasn't really that good. And I did a little bit of research, and the funny thing about that is, you really should do your research before, but that tree was a tree that is normally used for juice. So they put a lot of sugar in that juice, and so you end up having a tree that's meant for the juice that it produces. But the whole process was a long time coming, and I want to take a look at that. So first, just a quick overview of how that process comes to be, and we can then apply that to us spiritually. So nature's process for that fruit production first starts with that small blossom that is pollinated. Then that small, tiny blossom, you'll see a few days or maybe even a week later, you see a tiny bud. When that blossom falls off, there's a tiny bud. That is the beginning of the fruit. Like I said, it'll appear in a few days or it can appear in a week or maybe two, depending on what type of fruit it is. So after that, there's a supply of nutrients that come in the form of sap from that tree. That tree then pushes that sap out to that fruit, and that tree then causes it to be bigger and bigger day by day, a little bit each day, a little bit more sap, a little bit more nutrients, a little bit more size that's added to that fruit. Then after weeks or months, it ripens and then is ready to harvest. That's basically, in a nutshell, how the production of fruit comes about. But it all starts from that little blossom, then to a bud, then to weeks or months of time worth of sap. A Christian has a very similar process that we go through. Let's go ahead and take a look at two verses here. Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So this physical aspect of fruit production, I'm now going to translate it into the spiritual aspect of our lives. Also, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do we diligently seek God? Yeah, we do. And we must produce that fruit of the Spirit. That's our calling. That's what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. And so where we talk about the blossom being set on the tree, that first process in the fruit production, we can liken that to us. First begotten of God and placed into his church. And then, once that blossom falls off and it reveals the fruit, and the sap begins to flow, that's the Holy Spirit begins to flow, working in our minds to produce that spiritual fruit. A little bit each day, a little more, and the fruit grows bigger and bigger until it is fully ripe. Let's take a look again. We'll go back to John 15 and verse 4. And look at what Christ says here. Because this part is very important, the flowing of God's Spirit. I think most of us are past that point where we have been called and we have been placed in the church. So the blossom has been pollinated and the fruit has set. And now it's up to us to keep that Holy Spirit flowing, that sap flowing, so that the fruit can continue to grow. John 15 and verse 4 again. Abide in me. This is where we get the sap at. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The branch, we are branches, we don't have the ability to produce that fruit. I remember as a kid, we would go out into these orchards and the trees would sometimes have leaves on them and sometimes it'd be during the middle of the winter. But you would see these trees and you would cut them down. We were hauling wood out of these orchards and you would cut that tree down and the tree would stay green depending on how hot it was. It would stay green, you know, 2, 3, 4 days. And that's what Christ's saying here. Yeah, you cut the tree down. After those 2 or 3, 4 days, that's it. That's it. There's no more sap. There's no more flow of nutrients to that fruit or to that tree, and the tree begins to wither and those branches begin to wither and die. The branch by itself, as we read here in John 15 and verse 4, cannot produce anything. We must be attached to the vine. Acting on the Holy Spirit, prompting our spiritual buds, are energizing and we start to grow. By that flow of God's Holy Spirit in us, it energizes those buds and we start to grow. You know, we start to produce that spiritual character, that righteous fruit that we're to be doing. As we act and we respond to each new nutrient or each new stimulus, showing love and gentleness and meekness and the fruits of the Spirit, we form habits of obedience. So this is a process that is taking place here. And we form habits of obedience to God and His way of life. And spiritual fruit, it ripens, just like the nutrients that are found in the tree and that fruit begins to ripen. Spiritual fruits ripen from use, practice, and experience. I mean, think about that. Use, practice, and experience. As we use that Holy Spirit, as we practice this way of life, and as we experience these things, we begin to produce that fruit. It's through use, practice, and experience. God created a large variety of fruit. There's apples, peaches, grapes, oranges, lemons, pears, figs, apricots. You can name all kinds of fruits that are produced. And we should be producing all types of fruit. This physical aspect of many types of fruits, we should be producing many types of fruits. Let's look at Galatians 5. Of course, Galatians 5 lists those fruits. Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This love, joy, and so on, these are the fruits that we are supposed to be producing. When we are in tune with God's Holy Spirit and we are allowing that to flow in us and we act on that influence of His Spirit, these fruits are produced through our habits and reactions and patterns of conduct. It's through that process. And it changes who we are. It changes us from our old character, that human nature, and it changes us and gives us more of God's character, the way that we react, the way that we will react to difficult situations. When we get into a situation where maybe somebody's yelling at us, you know, as I illustrated at the beginning, do we lash out? Do we try to get our point across? Or do we patiently listen? Do we wait, get all of the facts, and then give an answer? Are we patient with people that maybe are not very patient with us? When we get in those difficult situations, the work that we have done to produce those fruits will be our character in those hard and difficult situations. It'll be a part of our every thought. John 15, Christ talks to His disciples. John 15, and we'll start in verse 16. Christ is talking to us about bearing fruit and rings true for us as well. John 15 and verse 16, He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain." So here's another point that I want to bring out, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. Not only are we supposed to be producing that fruit, but that fruit is supposed to remain. We're supposed to continue in the production of that fruit, and that fruit is to remain with us in the bearing of fruit, and the effort must continue for us. It must continue. Hebrews 13, verse 1, this also talks about that production continuing, that producing fruit to continue. Hebrews 13 and verse 1 just simply says, "Let brotherly love continue." So an aspect of one of those fruits, brotherly love, let it continue. Don't let it stop. Well, what causes the production of fruit to stop? In the natural world, the production of fruit stops from a number of things. We've had a big drought in California. Production of almonds, I'm sure, has been down quite a bit. Production of a lot of fruit. There have been a lot of fields that have actually dried up, couldn't afford to water them, and so without that water, there was no fruit. And we can find ourselves in the same position where that spiritual fruit is concerned. Don't get discouraged. You know, we're trying to produce this fruit. A lot of times we end up getting discouraged by thinking that we aren't growing fast enough, or that we will get frustrated because we don't see that tangible fruit that is required in our lives. But just as I had said earlier, it takes time. It's not overnight. That blossom takes usually a couple weeks worth of time, and then the bud shows, and then it's months of nourishing through the sap before that fruit reaches maturity. Just as I was talking about that orange tree that I had planted, there were years of cultivating, 3, maybe 4 years of cultivating before we got any fruit. And then the fruit that came, it wasn't that good. You know, there was pruning, there was fertilizing, there was cultivating before we ever saw anything. And so in our lives, it can be that same way. We can't get impatient or get discouraged with the fruit that is being produced. We have to keep at it. We have to continue to keep that Holy Spirit flowing, that sap flowing to that spiritual fruit in order for this to be a successful venture of producing fruit. And remember that God is the handyman. God is producing the fruit here. He's the one that is doing the cultivating and the pruning and the one that is responsible for fertilizing the tree. So God likes all different types of fruit, and he's the one that is bringing forth the fruit that he wants to have in each one of us. It's not up to us in that we would produce fruit. God's the one that's doing, he's the husbandman of this venture. And the more diligent and the more zealous we are in God's way of life, the more fruit of righteousness we will be able to produce. Before the peach is ripened, if you go out there and you pull a peach off of the tree before it is ripe, and it's tart, it's green, it's hard, it's inedible, it's not ready, it wasn't ready to be picked, it wasn't ready to be eaten. So there is a process that has to take place, and it's a lengthy one, and we don't want to be discouraged by that. Matthew 5 and verse 48 kind of talks about this, being patient, waiting for that fruit to come on, and what it will be like when it is ready. Matthew 5 and verse 48, it says, "Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." That's what we're looking for. That fruit is going to be perfect. The word here, perfect, in the Greek, it means mature, whole, complete, entire. It's fully developed. It's gone through the entire process of growing and then ripening. And we go through that same process. Luke, the 8th chapter, Luke 8 and verse 14, it says, "Now the one that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity." The blossom was set, and the fruit actually is on the tree, a bud is on the tree, and that little tiny piece of fruit, but there was something else that got in the way, and the fruit didn't reach maturity, and that's what we're looking for, maturity in that fruit in order for it to become ripe. Bringing no fruit to maturity means that it never ripened. It maybe was on the tree, but it never ripened. And we are to ripen a little each day, like I was talking about. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process that takes time, and quite a bit of time, and not a one-time act. It's not a magical act. It's not something that happens in the middle of the night where fruit comes on the tree immediately, but it's something that happens over a great period of time and takes a lifelong process for us as Christians, and we can't give up on that. Ephesians 3 and verse 17, this is how long we are supposed to continue until we have that fruit. Ephesians 3 and verse 17, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, that is the width and length and depth and height." In verse 19, "To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That's how long it takes till we take on God's fullness. That's how long it'll take. That's when we know that that fruit is ripe. And I dare say that I've got more time to go. The fruit is not ripe yet. I don't have that likeness of God yet, not in that fullness. Proverbs 4 and verse 18, another analogy here about that true righteousness, how we get that. Proverbs 4 and verse 18, it says, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day." It's not just immediate. It takes time. It's a process that takes time. We don't immediately, upon conversion, reach that fullness of true righteousness. It takes time. It is not attained quickly, and it happens over a long period of time. And we have all started a very serious journey here to bear fruit. It wasn't something haphazardly engaged in by any of us. It is a serious journey that takes a long period of time. It is a process. And to fail or to turn back, it's not an option for us. We look at some people and can look in years past and say they were just really healthy trees. They looked great, but when you went over and you actually went to the tree, there was no fruit on it. There was nothing on it. It was just a very lush green tree. Some people, they produced blossoms, and even a bud came on the tree. But through neglect and allowing the flow of the Holy Spirit to stop, and the fruit withered and it fell off. Well, we cannot allow that. We can't allow that to happen in our lives. And it can happen to us as it happened to them. So we have to continue to keep that Holy Spirit flowing in our lives. Mark, the 11th chapter. Christ talks about this tree. It was a very lush tree, had no fruit on it. Mark 11 and verse 12. Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps it would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. So here was a tree that was supposed to be producing fruit, but it was just a green tree with a lot of leaves. And we take a look in verse 20, what happened to that tree the very next day. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from its roots. Christ is very serious about us producing fruits. If we don't have that fruit on us, there's no use to a fruit tree if you aren't producing that fruit. Christ is very serious about our production of that spiritual fruit. John, the 15th chapter. Back to John 15 again. Talking about the vine and the branches. John 15, and we'll go ahead and start in verse 1. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." To not bear fruit means we're cut off, cast into the fire. We cannot have a more important calling. We must be producing fruit. In verse 6, it says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." This process that we're going through, we must be producing fruit. Christ is very serious about it. He expects us to produce spiritual fruit. It's very important to examine in our lives daily, praying, studying, that we are connected to that vine, to make sure that we are connected to that vine, and by being connected, have the strength to continue to produce. If we're not connected to that vine, we will definitely not produce any fruit. We must be connected to that vine. So then what is the true test of a Christian's character and his standing with God? What would that be? You know, I talked a little bit at the beginning about that test, to see that person's character. What is the true test? What does God require, and what is he looking at when he's testing us? And we find that in Matthew 7, verse 20, we find what God says. What is that true test of our spiritual character? Matthew 7 and verse 20, he says, "Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them." And we're good at testing other people's fruits, but how are you at testing your own fruits? The final test of a person's character is his fruits. It's how you live, how you act, what you say, what you do. It involves your whole life. It is a complete change in a person from what we were to producing that spiritual godly fruit. You know, small at first, just a blossom and then a bud. But after a period of time and many years, the branches become heavy with fruit. The tree loads up with fruit and with many beautiful different varieties what God is producing here. He's expecting us to produce that spiritual fruit. So the question then becomes, are you barren or are you a productive fruit bearer? It's difficult at times to look at ourselves and see that, but it is essential for us to go through that process, to look at ourselves, to see the spiritual fruit that we are producing. And we are commanded to look at others and test the fruit and see how that fruit is producing, to see whether or not that individual is producing good fruit or if it's bad fruit. And then we are attacked accordingly. But in our own lives, if we are not producing that fruit, we need to make those adjustments and draw close to God, draw on that Holy Spirit to produce that spiritual, holy, righteous character that God is looking for in each one of us.